Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time to visit with friends and to share what you've put on my heart, Lord. Lord, just bless this time. Lord, I ask that the message that I share would be from you, and Lord, that you would just overshadow any of me that may get mixed in with it, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for what you're going to do this morning. Be with the kids as they go to children's church too. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was growing up, I'm a pastor's kid, by the way, so I don't usually start off with that, so I've shared a little bit. I can let you know so you don't hold it against me. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I loved when missionaries would come visit our church. I loved it, number one, because it meant that somebody else would be speaking and I didn't have to listen to my dad. And I love seeing the pictures. I love hearing the different stories of what was going on in different cultures, things like that. It was always interesting. The best part of when missionaries would come was when they would come to our house and we would have them for lunch or something. And that meant good food, which I obviously enjoy good food. And then it also meant that after lunch, the missionaries would sit around over dessert and coffee, and then they would tell the really good stories. The ones that they couldn't share necessarily in church with everybody, and those types of things. And it was always exciting and interesting for me. One of the most interesting aspects of the stories that I would hear, I love to hear how God worked in people's lives to get them to the mission field. How God would call people to do crazy things. Because it's weird and it's crazy for a young couple to pick up everything, take their four kids, and go off to Uganda. That's weird and it's unusual. And a lot of times it takes interesting and neat and exciting things for the Lord to lead to something like that. And I always liked hearing those stories. But as I'm getting older and as I'm talking with different people, sharing in churches and hearing from the different people in the churches, I realize it's not just pastors and missionaries and those in full-time ministry that have a story of how God got them to where they were. The Lord calls all of us. The Lord is very clear in the Bible that all of his followers are called to good works that he prepared long, long ago for each of you. And today I want to talk to you about embracing that call that God has for you and some simple things that you can do at whatever stage you're at. Some of you are young, like my wonderful son Alex, who I appreciate, and you're looking for what God has for you as you're entering adult life. Like, people are always asking him, so what are you going to do? He's like, I don't know. The Lord hasn't revealed that to him yet, and that's hard for him, because I have a testimony, and he's heard my testimony many times about how the Lord revealed to me at a very young age that I was going to be a missionary in Uganda at just 15 years old or so. And so I knew it all along. And then my kids are like, well, why didn't I get the letter telling me? So it could be hard for them. Because God works in different situations and with different people in different ways and reveals that along the way. First of all, I'd like to have us go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and we kind of already talked about it a little bit. But in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that anyone may boast. For we are his workmanship," we are God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So that's the basis of what I want to talk today, is that we all have a calling, and we are all continually being called by him into different things at different stages of life. As you get older, I've talked to a lot of folks this time being back in the States who are dealing with different things with their parents as we're getting older and seeing our parents go through different stages and things, talking with folks even here seeing that type of thing. So we're all continually getting God's call in our lives to different things. And just like missionaries and just like pastors who share those stories and encourage others, I want to encourage you to be sharing your stories and your testimony of how God's working in your life and leading you, so that you can be a testimony and you can give glory to God and you can encourage others in their walk also. And it's not just me that is encouraging you in this. We are commanded by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we're commanded by Jesus to share these stories and these testimonies. And we see from David in Psalm 40, 9 and 10, we see from David kind of how this looks. David's speaking here. He says, "I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and of your salvation." And I would encourage you to be doing the same thing. To kind of get us started here, I want to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel as kind of an example. Because I think they make a good example of ones who have embraced God's call, because they didn't necessarily have the most fun call. When I was called to the mission field as a young man, it was exciting and interesting. I'm going to be going to Africa. They got elephants there. They got zebras. There's baboons. Like, that's an exciting and interesting call. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their call kind of happened to them. They didn't get much choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Israelites, and their country was defeated and taken over. They were taken into captivity. We learn early in the book of Daniel that they were under the direction of the prince of the eunuchs, which means that they were probably eunuchs, which I know wouldn't have been part of my plan. They've been through some tough stuff, and I really appreciate their testimony as Nebuchadnezzar builds this idol of himself and demands that everybody bow down and worship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I kind of picture them just standing in the back quietly, and all the music plays and nothing, and everybody's bowing down, and they're just standing there. They're not bowing down. They know not to do that. And then some of the other fellows go and tell on them. And Nebuchadnezzar's angry, and we pick it up in Daniel chapter 3, verse, I can't even read now. I think I need glasses too, Liz. Daniel 3:13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, then when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" This is a pretty dire situation that they find themselves in. And I like how they respond. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" And we know the rest of the story, how they didn't bow down. Nebuchadnezzar heated up the furnace 7 times hotter and threw them in. And they were seen walking around in the fiery furnace, but not just 3 of them. There were 4 in that furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar himself said that the 4th is like the son of the gods, who was the son of God. It was Jesus in there with him. And I just think it's an amazing testimony that these young men have. I think they have the testimony that a lot of missionary kids have, because missionary kids are kind of dragged out of their home country and subjected to all kinds of different things as they're brought along. So I think when I see their story, I see some of what our kids have gone through. They have an amazing response there to the king. And I think it's testimonies like that. I mean, you think about it, thousands of years later, I'm still reading their story and still encouraged by it. And your testimony, too, will be an encouragement for others, and it may last for years and years. And I encourage you in that. But how in the world can we prepare ourselves for what God has in store for us? And how can we be prepared to be faithful, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I really love Psalm 37, and I think in Psalm 37, we kind of have a lot of really good stuff, and I want to share 3 things with you to help you prepare for what God has for you and how to respond. I'm going to read Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll talk about 3 things. "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, and he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. As we go through there, there is so much good stuff for us to learn. And I'm doing a bit of an injustice by only picking out three principles out of here. But I challenge you to go back into the scripture and see what the Lord reveals to you and what you see there, because there's so much more than what I'm sharing just this morning. But number one, in verses 4 and 6, if you want to be ready for what the Lord has for you and to respond correctly, the first thing you have to do is draw close and draw close to God. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. And that part about committing your way to the Lord, that isn't just a one-time thing. Keep recommitting your life. Sometimes we get distracted by the noise and the things around us, all the different aspects of life, and we kind of lose our way a little bit. And we need to keep renewing our pledge to the Lord and keep committing ourselves to him and what he has for us. And that's the way we draw close. And we draw close through communicating with him. And we communicate through prayer and reading his word. Commit yourself to the reading and studying of God's word. And share your desires and hopes and plans and concerns with the Lord. It talks a lot about not worrying in here. And it's important that we replace worry with something, because if we just say, oh, I'm not going to worry, it doesn't work. You got to replace it with something. And what you replace it with is prayer and putting those things that you would otherwise be worrying about, putting them in the Lord's hands and committing them to the Lord. So that's the first thing. Draw close to God through scripture, through prayer, through renewing of your pledge and your commitment to him. The second thing I challenge you with is to just be. A lot of times these days, we have opportunity to be entertained and to use our time constantly. If you have a moment where you don't have something to do, we all do it. We pull out the phone, start scrolling, things like that. And it's easy, and we all do it. But I think there's something very important about just being. And the Lord has really been working on me and my life with that. And over this past year especially, I've been trying to commit time to just being. And part of just being is, with that, We let God refresh us and strengthen us. We see in verses 7 on down, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves over the one who possesses or prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from your anger, forsake your wrath. Part of just being is also choosing to allow God to work in the situation. Don't take it upon yourself to do things just in your own power and just to be busy. Wait for the Lord to give you the nudge in what you should do and how you should respond. Instead of just reacting to situations, wait and respond to those situations with the leading of the Lord in your life. And then the third thing I want to talk about is in verse 1 through 3. I kind of took them out of order here because they just kind of worked better for me that way. In verse 1 through 3, I would encourage you to keep going. It talks here, in verse 3 especially, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. As you're just being, continue to also do the things that you know you need to do. And you know you need to do them because you've been drawing close to the Lord, reading scripture, so you know what he would have you to do. And just keep doing those things that you know you're supposed to do. Keep in fellowship with other believers in church. Keep ministering to others. Keep putting others first. And keep doing those things. And God will reveal other things to you as you go and give you other opportunities. One of the things that I've learned over these last 10 or 12 years, this process of getting ready and going to Uganda and being there and then all that that entails, is I've committed to the Lord to go through the doors that he has opened for me. And I asked him, Lord, don't give me opportunities to do things like preaching and sharing in churches, things like that, that you don't want me to do, because I'm committed to being faithful and taking those opportunities. If an opportunity comes up to share or to speak at a church, I'm just going to take it unless you close that door for me, because I know in my flesh that it is not what I would choose. When someone would contact me, especially in the early days, and say, oh, would you like to preach after you share? No. No, I would not. I'm a nurse. My father is a preacher. He's a pastor, and he has many different giftings that I do not have, and I don't feel comfortable in that format. But it's not about my comfort, and it's not about what I want. It's about giving glory to the Lord, and that means doing things that are uncomfortable and are not in your strengths, and doing the best that you can anyways, and trusting him for the rest. The Bible's also clear about how that in our weakness, he is glorified, because he'll help you to do whatever it is. And when people look and say, wow, that goofball Matt, he was able to do it. Maybe this Matt, by the way. Not that Matt. Careful. I want to make sure. But I hope that when people see me and hear my stories and hear what God is doing in and around the ministries that we've been blessed to be a part of, I hope that they go, wow, if he can do it, I can do that, because look at him. And I love that, and I hope for that, and I hope that for all of you too, that you would be a blessing and encouragement to others. So remember, go back to Psalm 37 and read through and see some of the things that God has put in there that I've failed to bring out this morning. But draw close to God. Be willing to just wait, just be. And then also keep going. Be faithful in the things that you know you're supposed to do. For Alex, you don't know the next step that God has for you, but you know you're supposed to do your work in school right now. So do your work and be faithful in that. And that's God's will for you right now. And I don't know everyone's situations here and what you're going through, but be faithful. Take the small steps that you know that God would have you to take and wait for him to guide and direct for what will come next, and stay close to him. Keep recommitting, keep pledging to follow him and to be faithful. Don't let yourself fall away or just grow cold. Keep on going. Keep on being faithful. And when you face those tough situations, those fiery furnace-type situations, just trust the Lord to give you the grace for that next moment and that next minute. Because you'll face things in your life that you don't know how you could ever get through something like that. But then he'll get you through something like that, and he'll be faithful, and you'll realize, wow, we made it through that. And then you'll be ready for the next thing and the next thing until he brings you home to heaven. And hopefully, just like the master in the parable of the talents, you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we all want. And then it'll be a beautiful thing. So I encourage you in that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity to share. And Lord, I just ask your blessing on this church. Lord, thank you for the blessing and encouragement that this church has been to us, our family, and to others in this community, Lord. And we just pray your special blessing on them and a hedge of protection around them, that they would not be hindered in any way by Satan, the world, or the flesh, the things that could get in the way of what you would truly have for this church and the individuals of it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.